if it'd been an isolated incident, we might have accepted it better. But when we found out who he was and what type of person had done it, it could have been prevented. The system really let us down as a family. It let people with a vested positions to make sure things like that didn't happen, let it happen. Today's figures, or this week's figures, released by Parliament, that every 47 minutes of every day of the year, someone is breaking their bail. I mean, that's an incredible figure. People who are on bail breach it, and nothing's really seriously happening to them. That was when it was first muted. Why don't we do something in Damien's memory? Don't worry, Dad, don't get upset about it. Let's get together, we'll think of something, we'll try and get a change of the law, we'll call it Damien's Law, and that's how it came about. And we said, right, let's do that. Well, rather than start to try and do it right away, because we're really shell-shocked as a family, we still had the funeral to go through. Now, Damien died in an area of Greenock where it's generally a respectable area, it's not a down-and-out and it's not a ghetto or anything like that. But where he died was a surprise to everyone. And I think the reasonable people within the local area, Greenock, Lars, Port Glasgow, all round about our local area here, I think they'd recognised that what happened to Damien could quite easily have happened to their son or daughter. And I think this is where the public support came from. It really came out in droves to make comment about it. Now, the nice thing about it was, or the bad thing about it for us, it was our son. And the nice thing about it was that so many people cared. Now, when we started the petition, when we thought about it, by getting it out, the first 2 months of 2008 were generally going to get the confidence of trying to get it done, who should we speak to, how to go about it. We spoke to lawyers, we spoke to doctors, we spoke to the church, we spoke to the community councils, we spoke to our own Inverclyde council, and we spoke to our MSPs. Now, all that was just jamboree going on, talking about how best we could do it. And then we decided the policy, what we're going to do, and we fixed it up. We went online, I think it was the 3rd of March 2008. And by the 26th of June, we had more than 16,000 signatures and a petition handed into Parliament. And those people who went on the website to do it, there was just over 8,000 people. We got them from Azerbaijan, and we got them from Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Italy, France, Canada, America, South Africa. Came from all over. People putting it onto the website, get the mandatory sentence and get this thing off the streets. We want our streets back. We're afraid of the streets the way they are. We can't go out. I know my mother can't go out. And it went on and it went on. And it really built into a crescendo, which really gave us a fair old degree of confidence. And we met Frank McAveety and his petition committee. Now, they gave us a very fair hearing, and I've got to say that quite strenuously, they did give us a fair hearing. Because seemingly, the normal thing would be you would give a 3 minutes introduction of what the petition was about and how you felt about it and what you'd hope it would achieve. Well, to the exact countdown, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I finished my presentation in just on the 3 minutes. From then we went on and we answered questions from various members, from the SNP, from the Labour representatives and others who were there. What came out of that, it was reasonably impressive, because normally you would get roughly 30 minutes for that type of meeting. As it turned out, we were in there almost the hour, 58 minutes I think it lasted, which was the longest petition hearing that had ever been accepted in the Scottish Parliament. So we're creating a wee bit of a record. Maybe because the seriousness of what was put in front of them, they felt that it had to be discussed a good bit further. So we gave that in. Again, we done the presentation to the press and all the questions and all the answers, and it flooded the airwaves again and the radio shows and everything else. and we then had to wait when to get a date, what was happening once they had a look at it. Just after that, we were then advised that we were going to, the petitions committee felt it was serious enough to think that they should be having a full public debate, and they were going to invite the assorted bodies of various people to come and discuss it. What they've actually done there is created a precedent, because it had never been done before in the Scottish Parliament that a petition on the petition committee's desk was referred further forward to have a debate on a forum of knife crime. And when you consider we got that opportunity to go there, tremendous